All right. Strangely, again, enough. I had never noticed. There's very little in chapter 1 and 2 on the new man. Oh, if you want to spiritualize, you can find it in every verse in the Bible. But once you get past chapter 3, that's all it's about. Here's the book. We'll start with verse 16. You think I'll read the verse before that? But when he has set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, he was pleased to reveal his son in these, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, that he might cause the revelation of his son in me, that he might show me the son in me, that the curtain might drop and Christ might be seen inside me, that he might reveal his son, not to me, not for me, not through me, but in me. He has revealed the Lord Jesus in Paul, and if in Paul, he's revealed the Lord in you. Okay, let's go. He gave us one of the most beautiful understandings of these two lives we have. Actually, we have three, but I'm going to concentrate on the two. I cannot, or my flesh cannot obey anything that's either religious or spiritual. Therefore, if I am to be justified in the sight of God, I must be justified in Christ, and no other way. Concerning the law, through the law, I died to the law, or through law, I died to law. Now, what that means is very difficult to explain, but I believe that it means this, that by seeking to obey the law, by seeking to understand it and fulfill it, I failed. Now that could be one meaning. Failed to the point that I gave it up. Or it may be, that's one possibility, it may be that Paul is saying that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and the law itself had promised the death of Christ, and therefore it was by means of the law that I died to the law. That's the only understanding that I can give of that verse. For through the law I died to the law, but whatever it means, whatever its meaning, this point is obvious, that I, by something, by some means, there is debt between myself and the law. It does not matter which one of you is dead. If the law has died, I'm free from the law. It is dead. If the law is alive and I am dead, I am free from the law. Because I am dead. Because death ends all obligation to all rules. Now, I do not care what theology you espouse. Glory. I do not care if you're Mormon or Methodist, Baptist or Boots, Mohammedan or Mormon. I do not care what you believe. If you are dead, you're free. God has reckoned you dead. Amen. And whether I put the law on you, or you put the law on you, or some group puts the law on you, the fact of the matter is, you're the freest creatures in all the universe that doesn't even reckon dead. You believe that for 1 hour while you're sitting here. And then you walk outside, and you go right back and put the law.
Exactly.
When in fact, you're dead. I'll tell you, the freest people in the city are the people in Graveyard. Huh? Not one law in this city that pertains to them. The Catholics can't touch them. The Baptists can't touch them. The Mormons can't touch them. The Muslims can't touch them. You have not seen anybody walking through the graveyard preaching. Have you? And you know you will not. You are reckoned as dead as those people are.
Praise the
But when he
Lord.
might put you under the law, then.
No, the
praise the Lord.
And a thing called purgatory where they try to get you after you're hurt.
Oh, no, they even chase you through the grave. You're in death. If a man says that's true, it doesn't mean a thing. And if a man says it's not true, it doesn't mean a thing. It's God's view on the man. God hears you, it's death. So?
Praise the Lord.
The law.
All that is.
And the laws do not hold you.
That's right.
Mother doesn't hold you, daddy doesn't hold you. Babies don't hold you, religion doesn't hold you. Gene doesn't hold you. Nothing hold you. Not even nothing. Just name it. It doesn't hold you. You are reckoned free. And isn't that great? I tell you, the Lord's concept of finishing the problem of sin and the flesh and the law was incredible. What a powerful, powerful gospel Brother Paul preached. How total was his gospel. But here were a group of Christians who had packed up and gone back to it like it was the greatest thing in the world. Brother Bob, it only means one thing. There's a natural inclination inside the old species to wish to obey that which is already equal. In fact, it shows the pride of the old man, because the new man would then do a thing like that. The new man is absolutely certain that all power to do all things rests in Christ. The old man still believes he knew it. Any time you fall under the condemnation of the law, you're simply admitting you're fried and that you believe that you could perform commandments of God. Those commandments were not cast for you to be able to fulfill. They were brains to drive you toward Jesus Christ. For you're still being driven day after day. Till one day thou shalt glorify him. I believe I should quit working and begin believing what is true. That I'm dead. And the law has no obligation?
Okay.
God has said Jim Millick is dead.
Now you and your faults.
Yeah, it is. Now that's only part of the story. But still, even though you say I'm dead, boy, I got a few problems.
Huh.
Can't quite get all this stuff in. I just got a fever pulse. So God reckoned Jill Milnick dead. That's dead. That's number one. Now then, number two, if that be true, God has reckoned again.
Pray, God.
Ooh. Is this?
Jesus.
According to the reckoning of God, the resurrected Christ is all there is.
Glory.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Sweet, I believe in the Lord John, believing I was righteous and sanctified.
Hey, Lord, my.
Well, then could you believe this, that you're dead and then your name has been erased in its place?
There is only the risen, resurrected her.
Wait. That's all that the Lord sees. The Father sees so unusually. Well, you think, why would God see such a thing as that? Because your God is not. You know, you begin to wonder about God. It is because God is free of time and space. And he see what really is. I'm telling you, there will be a day in this universe when you will see that there is nothing left but Jesus Christ.
Glory.
But God sees right now that in this universe, there is nothing left but the Lord. In the new creation, God only reckons Christ. And that's all.
Lord.
I've been crucified with Christ I no longer live. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives.
No.
Everything that is not Christ is reckoned as dead.
Wow.
Everything that is not Jesus Christ in that body is reckoned as dead. And everything else is a lie.
Now, Jim, consider that tomorrow when you're walking around. That everything here that is not the Lord is reckoned dead. Everything that is being carried around right now, the Lord is carrying around and it's dead.
And there is only here in the eyes of God, Christ.
The only thing now left in me that's alive is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, my spirit has been made one with the Lord's spirit. And the Lord's spirit is in my spirit. And the two spirits have become one spirit. And his spirit and my spirit are now eternally one. And I have the eternal life of the Lord. And that is the life. I reckoned as life. And everything that is not that is reckoned as dead. And when the Lord gains ground in my soul, it's reckoned as resurrected and alive. The Lord puts to death the oldness of the soul, and you go through agony, and one day you come out alive, and that's reckoned as alive. And one day, your body, this outward tabernacle, shall dissolve, and the Lord shall gain a new body, and that will be reckoned Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is unity in you, even on the day you're saved, when you're paying by street. From that second on, nothing in you is reckoned as alive except Christ. And as the Lord grows and takes over you, that's reckoned as alive. Everything else is reckoned as dead. When he gets to your body, it's reckoned dead. Until the Lord takes over the body and it's reckoned alive. And then one day you will be all alive and all the rest of you is dead. And there is no judgment held against a dead man.
Amen.
There is no condemnation to a dead man. There is no law that holds a dead man.
Everything else is the Lord. What's your power?
Amen.
You don't have laws. The pot is dead.
Amen.
Amen. The old gray pot is dead.
Everybody else is dead.
Everybody else is dead. The only thing that lives is Christ. And we will no longer know any man according to the flesh.
I think that would be a good place for church plop.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Pray. The bell.
I can believe it about everybody in the room except me. There you go. I'm drawing.
Billy? That's not exactly true. You go home. I'm going to say it to you again. You go home. Try not to believe this. Now you've heard. You go home. Try not to believe him. You'll find it very difficult to not believe because your spirit is a believer.
Amen.
His spirit has all sinless. Your spirit knows this to be true. Your spirit said the dying sign saying amen. I've been trying to tell you this for years. Your spirit sitting down and saying, well, sure, this has been true. This has been true ever since the crucifixion of Moses, too.
Says yes and amen.
Says yes and amen. All right. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When I was 19 years old, in the summer of 1952, I was memorizing verses. And in that particular summer, I was living in Rome, Italy, and I knew that this was probably the outstanding verse in the New Testament, and I finally came. Galatians 2.20. Crucified with Christ, nonetheless, I'll be crucified with Christ. Let me see, I can't say it. I couldn't say it either. There's no one now that live Christ who lived in me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I walked all around that end of Rome, all the streets that day, saying, though it was very important, but the key to all things, and repeating it and hoping that I would understand what it meant. And there was no way on earth for me to understand what that meant. because I would not take it at face value.
What?
I am dead. Amen. And it is no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And as far as I live in the flesh,
why?
I live by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen, Shavu.
Now that simply means that the flesh part is walking around. Insofar as my flesh is alive, insofar as the I is alive, insofar as the other man is alive, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now what does that mean? That means two things. One of them means is I don't have cat faith. And in fact, I don't have faith.
Three man's doesn't matter. Jesus Christ.
I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's the way the verse is written. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, what does the Son of God believe? What does...
Now, Jesus Christ believes he's alive.
Amen.
And he believes I'm dead.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live.
Amen.
But Christ lives in me. And as far as I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Beloved. And delivered himself up for me. And the translation says, I am living in faith that is of. He's got is of in italics. I am living in faith that is of the Son of God.
Praise the Lord.
I am living in the faith, in faith that is of the Son of God.
Amen.
I believe this is what I was trying to say. May I keep that right here?
All
right, we will take this by the way, is probably the most literal translation that was put into the English language. It's called the Concordance. I live by the faith that is all with Son of God. It is his faith, and I'm living by it. You know that I rarely talk about you having faith. As far as that goes, I believe in all of the time I've ever spoken to any of you, I've never told any of you to have faith. You don't need to have faith. Jesus Christ has faith. If you are saved, you have faith. Yes. Now that it may be that as an old man, as the other man, as the lost man, the unregenerated man, you need to make that one great leap of believing in Jesus Christ. But saints, from that moment on, you have the faith that is of the Son of God.
How?
For his faith says these things true, and I'm not going to argue with the Almighty Isaiah. I simply cannot obey the Lord to that. That's why he put grace before the law. Abraham's covenant preceded Moses' covenant.
Right.
One covenant began and ended with him as a train. And I suppose the Lord should not live according to these things, therefore God put me to death and the cross in France. Galatians 2:20 says, I had been crucified with Christ. I have been put away. Now I am free. And then he asked this question, if I has begun this new lines in the Spirit, shall I perfect it by the law? Did the law save you?
No.
Then shall the law deliver you? After having been saved, Buster, does the Lord say, obey the law till you cannot obey it anymore? Come crying, oh, who shall, the wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Get saved, have the Lord's Spirit in you, and then take up the law in you. Then why come you? You're all just really amening me. Then why do you hubris? Brother Lartz made the most beautiful statement in his little book, Practicing His Presence. He said, and so when I sin, I just say the word, bar. That's the way I know. And then I go back to him.
Bill Lawrence knew how to make Christ just a pill.
Or that's a swear.
No. Yeah, if you just said that to God, you know, or that's a swear, right? Or
that would be bad.
But if you say, Lord, that's the way I am, and you turn me back to the sin of pain, which is crops.
Eventually, he will get you. Right. Eventually, he will get your unbelief.
Even the unbelief
will be swallowed up by his pay, his glory.
I ask you, you who were forgiven by the Spirit, shall you attain the Christian life by works?
No.
You who've been set free from life by death, shall you in the graveyard now be put back into the bondage of being under the law, but coming back to that lie? Saint, listen here. Here is a lie, and here is a tomb, and here is a lie. And those two lives are separated by a food, and you do not go into the tomb to return to that lie.
You are now cut off to that law. If there's any distance in beyond that tomb, it is in another law.
You'd have been cut off from a hat of law. You were human. You are now reckoned a son of God.
You have moved up on the species scale. Have you noticed the flesh drawing you closer and closer to the Lord? No. Oh. You haven't noticed?
No. Let's get...
It's me. But should you perhaps look closer?
No.
Perhaps there's a little of the Lord working down there in your flesh, no?
No.
Then I think you should return to the Lord if your flesh is there. Return to your spirit.
Amen.
Return to your skirt.
Amen.
Where dwells the new man, the nesthesis. And accept the fact Bill was dead. Okay?
And the law went to the man whose spirit was dead. But when that man, unable to obey the law and fulfill it, came to Christ, that man was reckoned dead and put in the grave and came out of the grave into a new creation. For all of this was put away. But if you put him on the biological scale, then you put him at the top. For he is a son of the living God. He is a divine creature. Within him is the very being of God. And he is not under law. He has the spirit of liberty. And the only law that holds him is Christ.
Praise God. And Christ himself said, that law shall not pass away till every bit of it is fulfilled. Hallelujah. In 33 1/2 years, it was fulfilled for the first yet only time to the letter. Fulfilled it, he won it. W-O-N. He won it, carried it to the grave, burial it, yeah, along with the old creation. And he came out with a promise of the Spirit. Wow. And then he began putting that promise in man. He put in the divine right. Not everything is the heavens except earth. And God created the earth for a habitation of sons. It would be here that he would spawn his race. And I told you once about the spaceship flying across past earth. The little Martian looks up to the portal window and says, hey, Daddy, what's that?
That's Earth, sir. What's Earth, Dan? That's the place for the sons and God. One day, that will be true. This is the place for the sons and God,
a new species. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new species. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For all of you, verse 27, who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Brother Jim Milne?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Inside of him, what is there?
Christ.
And this thing right here, what's that?
Christ. Christ's clothing. Oh, that's an old pot.
That's it. It's dead. Whatever it is, it's dead.
Yeah.
It's dead. Did you keep a record of all the sins he committed today? It's reckoned there. Okay. This is dead. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Biggest problem you've got has been reckoned dead. And inside here is the Lord. So that inside of him is Christ. Everything else is reckoned dead. But praise of the Lord. There's something outside of them too.
How?
This clothing is Christ. Great. Inside is Christ, and outside is Christ, and everything between the Christ within and Christ about is dead. So that he has surrounded the Lord, and within him is Christ.
Amen.
Praise his name.
We have been immersed in the Christ. He is a grab badge. And we're crying. And
Amen.
All that's on the outside is Christ, and all that's on the inside is Christ, and all that's in between is there.
Well, I know.
So that there is only Christ, and that which you see. And that's all. And he is called the devices. For Christ is our right.
Hallelujah. I'm a lead man.
Amen.
Did get both? None.
Absolutely.
The major thesis of all scripture is the new man.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new man.
Amen.
The old things have passed away. Behold, all things shall be tomorrow. For you have been made new in Christ Jesus. Why then, therefore, do you obey seasons and climes and days when you have been made Christ's? Or to him that you and I were adopted by the Lord from the law. Now that's really interesting because there are two races of people on the earth. One's the old man and one's the new man. And the old man is that we think of so much as being fallen. He's the self nature, his flesh, all of his things. He actually is a child of the law. Well, he's a child of the law. And the Lord Jesus has come along to make you a new creature. He first redeems you from the law, then he adopts you from the law, puts you under grace, and then he makes you genetically his. Does that make sense? You are now as though you were born from God. In fact, you are now born. Praise the Lord.
You are a soul creature, a human thing, an earth creature, and you are genetically of the earth. And he's a heavenly creature, and you are under law. And he comes and he takes out adoption papers on you and he says, no longer in the law, you're free. Now then you're under grace. That is free. Freedom of everything. And now he puts his spirit in you, which is, as the scripture says, a bird. It isn't a bird. So that I am adopted son of God. And after I'm adopted son of God, I am birthed son of God.
Amen.
And now I am no longer dominantly soul, earthly, human, but I am dominantly spirit,
Amen.
Heavenly,
Amen.
And divine.
Amen.
Same praise the Lord. Water.
Amen.
And at the moment that I am born, spiritualist, if you look in the Greek, it says in John 3, not born again and not born anew, but born from above. So that you are birthed twice. You're birthed to your mother and father under the law.
Praise God.
You're birthed again in the heavenly.
Hallelujah.
In God. And you get, just as surely as your mother and daddy birthed you into the human race, God births you into the divine.
Amen.
And you are truly man.
Amen.
A new species, a new creature. You are the race, the divine sons of
Hallel.
People keep accepting that on some kind of spiritualistic plateau, and that's not to be accepted that way. God decided to have a pediment.
Right.
God decided to have a family.
Hallelujah.
Everybody else had a family. The cattle had a family. Fish had families. Then he created Adam, and he looked at Adam and said, you run around in that garden a while, Adam, and see what it's like to be a bachelor for a while. And God and Adam were the only two male species in the universe who had no mate. And then God said, it's not good to be alone, is it, Adam? Adam said,
no, spirit.
And God said, I'll put you to death, and I'll bring out of you a woman. I'll bring you back black, put you in deep sleep. And God fashioned you. Adam woke up and said, blocks. What's his word? In Simla Ginkro. Bo and my, oh, not one of them elephants are alive. Oh, that's cows or horses. This is only my, oh.
Hallelujah, Hashem, my life. Hey.
Now there's only one male left in the earth.
No.
And he came into human flesh to start a new species that he too
might have a wife.
Right.
Oh, well, sure. Uh-oh. That there might be a divine race upon the earth. And he's got a wife. Hallelujah. And we are the sons of God. We are a new race.
And by the way, we ain't under law no more. That does.
That's good. But we are not under law, right? Isn't that reasonable? We're not human beings. You don't see elephants going around under the law of the pit. Right? You don't see fish going around under the law of a tree.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Right? You don't see a horse under the law of a bird. And you don't see the sons of God under the rules and principles of man.
Glory to God.
Human being was born inside of you. Only he wasn't you. I don't know what you told me. You say a divine being? I don't know. But somebody was born inside of you. A baby was born inside of you. And as soon as he was born, he said,
Dad.
You got a new problem. First adopted, while still human, adopted out of the law, and then inseminated with a divine nature. And the child is born and cries, Daddy, Dad, Dad. That was a natural thing of your spirit.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's going on inside of you right now. Let your spirit cry out.
Abba, Abba, and Ham, Ba. It's good for you to get somewhere to say, hey. Let your spirit cry, Ba, De,
the Lord. He has put his spirit in you, and you're divinely created now, and you're a son of God, and that spirit cries out, Abba, Father. You cry out to the Lord as your Father. Okay. Now we're no longer slaves, neither under the law, nor we are a child as good as a slave, but now you have become not an heir, not an inheritor, not a child, but you are now son. And if you're a son, you are an heir. I wonder what that says. I bet that says an heir of God. Does anybody? Did anybody bring another one of those translations? Huh? Heir of God.
Ringsha.
Uh-huh.
Go get for the heir of God.
I'm sure it's an heir of God. You inherit God. Sir. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now you have come to know God. He makes a reference back to the time before you were converted. I think he's speaking here to the Gentiles. And he makes this statement. And now that you have come to know God, and he stops, and he says, Arista. And he looks around for an eraser. That's not good enough. And then he can't erase it. They don't haven't invented erasers. And he says, no, you haven't come to know God. Something more important than that has happened. God has come to know you. Bob, where are you from?
Jennifer.
Okay, if I invite you out to the graveyard, here on Santa Barbara, is there anyone out there you know?
No.
I didn't think so. Well, I want you to know that one day God got to know you.
because you suddenly appeared in his universe.
Oh.
You suddenly appeared in his realm. In his realm. Because you're now a heavenly creature. You're born from above. You're going to find out in just a moment how heavenly you are. And I didn't write this book. I didn't write this one. Are you allowed it in there? You belong to the heavenlies. And you appeared. And God knew you. You are known by God. And that's far better, far more important than you knowing God. For you to know God could always be the possibility of an error. That could get to be dangerous. You might have had a miscalculation in judgment. But boy, for God to know you. I told someone today at the dinner table that some years ago my wife was reading something in a paper about some movie stars who accepted her. She was so disgusted. She threw that down and she said, God doesn't even know those people exist. And there was more truth in that than she realized. They are reckoned dead. They are reckoned dead. And you don't go around getting to know dead people. But now, through the Spirit, you have been made alive and far. And God knows you.
Oh.
Okay. So he says there.
Hallelujah.
Or rather, now that you have become to be known by God, and now Brother Paul is really... goes back to the problem. How is it that you would turn back again to the weak and worthless rudimentary things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? Why would a child of God, born of the heavenlies, free from the law, adopted out from under law, made an heir, and now actually having the divine nature put in him, and the divine nature far excelling the human nature to the point he's no longer reckoned a human creature but a divine creature, no longer an earthly creature but a heavenly creature, why would you want to go back to slavery? Why would you return to the law?
Why do you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you'll stop. The boy here, the boy you'll stop. Why go back to the old creation? Go back to what's worthless and at best is weak. Listen to this next verse. Where then is that sense of blessing you add?
Where then is that sense of blessing you add?
Do you recall when you got experientially saved? Do you? If you were an adult and you had anything like a good, solid conversion experience, you remember season in there where it was blessed. Do you not?
Admits. Praise the Lord.
I believe that most of you, having begun in the Spirit, have at some time in your life reverted to the law. Is that not true? You have gone back to trying to merit your position with the Lord. Which has got to be one of the greatest studies in futility ever launched on by any creature. To try in any way to merit brown equals with God. I'm not going to get into that again, but that's the last thing on earth God ever expected you to do. God gave you up. That's why he invented grace.
Oh,
because you were hopeless. Did you notice that the blessing less? When you went back to the law.
He got sick to us.
Let me tell you how to get that blessing back.
Praise the Lord. Very simple. Give up that law. Go back and rejoice at your freedom.
Hey.
The saints, why don't you go back and enjoy grace? Go back and enjoy the thing of being free of all. And I'm going to make this clearer. I don't care if I get misunderstood.
Praise God.
This is not the end of Galatians is not the end of this Bible. You are absolutely free from everything.
Amen. Amen.
All law, all rule, all rape. That means that you can smoke all you want to smoke.
Why?
You can drink all you want to drink. And you can cuss all you want to drink.
Maybe up and really can be
Now, I know that probably there would be at least one or two preachers in the world who would not agree with that. And they would really get up on their horses. But listen, my dear brother and sister,
You've got to begin there. You have got to begin with absolute freedom. You work out from that point. If there are any limitations, you work out from that point, but you start with liberty. You start with freedom. You are free from all law. Isn't that wonderful, Vessel?
Wonderful. And you ought to have the privilege of basking in that a while.
Amen. For great glory, to assume that's your yard. Everyone over there.
Maybe we should all drive home at 90 miles an hour. Sweet. And you all just pull out that driver's license and say, there you go.
You got
You got to start there, brother. You got to start there, sister. Well, but Gene, I'm going to repeat what I said in the... Gene, you preach a gospel like that, and people and start doing all sorts of terrible things.
And let me tell you something. That's not true.
There she be.
Well, I know a group of people who treat that doctor.
And sure enough, everybody went out and started getting drunk. I'm eyewitness to that. And I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you exactly why. Because the vessels who preached it were flawed. The man who preached that gospel was above reproach.
Amen.
Amen. They sensed his liberty. They still found in him no reproach. He was an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ, preached the same gospel of liberty, but the zealot was above reproach. I am not afraid to you to preach to you the gospel of liberty. I am, far as it goes, I just sometimes tell myself, can you be bolder? Huh. Why don't you go out tonight and do exactly what you want to do?
And when they get cut down, Gene said,
teach you the Lord. You're free from all law.
Gene, there's got to be a hook in here somewhere. There's no hook.
John Wesley? Was it John? No, it's Dwight L. Lewis. Yeah. Dwight L. Lewis was once talked to about this. He was saying something about grace, and there are those who do not believe in grace who are Christians, or at least believe it in little bitty doses. And then somebody was rebuking him about something he said that was going to lead to sin, and he said, and you know, his converts were going to go out and get drunk. And he said, let me finish that. I go out and get drunk every time I want. Close every time I feel.
Rainbow.
I want you to know, I go out and get drunk every time I go. I go out and
I swear every time I go.
Better stop, huh?
All right, let's roll. Yeah. We'd have to start from the point of liberty, and you work out from there. You're free. Get your blessing back, sakes. Accept your freedom in the Lord. You're free. You're free. You're like Cindy Jean Edwards, who went to Europe. And she called and said, I want to go back. I'm going to go see Europe. And I said, you got any money? She said, I've got a little bit. And I said, go do it. And she wrote me. And she said, I'd go down the street. It's the first time she'd been wiki. You know, she was in Europe. You know, looking around.
Nobody's around. She was in the cities all by herself. She had this little pack on her, and she said she'd start jumping on the street. She should say,
"You up to the same thing? That's wonderful. I thought that was gory. You jump it, run on the streets. I'm free. I'm good."
See, don't just stay you. We did not raise kids. You uptight ferrets. I'm not talking about the ones who raise your kids lawlessly. You uptight ferrets. You try grace on your kids somewhere.
What you doing, Tim? Jimmy? I told you don't do that, but you don't do that.
The next time one of your kids starts to do something wrong, we should say, "Let's do it." So, is that as well as you knew that? Do it twice, see?
I tried this on my kid, do it miracles.
You don't go wrong.
I said, "Okay, you know."
I tell you a story.
I ain't told this before. I'm not seeing rules. Great.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I went through one of the blackest periods of my life, blacker than anything that any of you could ever imagine. And it was really hard on me. It was hard on Helen. And it got blacker every month and every year. And now there was no problem, as far as I recall, there was no problem between Helen and me. But it got blacker and worse. And you know, it wasn't like, but what she said that day was not unusual. Right? It was not a surprise. When things build gradually, it was an unbearable situation. You could not ever comprehend how unbearable it was. And the pressure was so great, the atmosphere was so charred, and my wife, our sweet little Helen, said to me one day, "Oh,
I'm going to go home tomorrow. Now I'm going to go back home in Texas." Didn't say long. I'm going to go back. And he let me go back home sick.
And, you read books about the wife and says, "I'm going to go home lightly." And, you know, then you have this big family row and all that. And I had somewhere in all of my problem, I had the recollection of grace. Hey, can you believe this? I had the presence of mind to say to her, just tap, tap, tap. I said, "Well, honey, go home.
Just back me. She crumbled. Just, I mean, that ended it totally. It
never, no, in other words, she just couldn't believe it. She wanted to go on the model. She wanted to stay right there. And she wanted to fight it out with me. She just wanted to have an argument with that. That's so. Jesus, you know, she just needed to fence some hostilities. Next time when your kids are really going to feel a bad one, just go ahead and let them feel. You might be fra. That won't happen. Saints, you're free.
Amen.
You are absolutely free. You're not under the laws, and nobody's looking over your shoulder. At least God's more. Get your blessing back. Amen. Amen. For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? They, he doesn't know who they are. They eagerly seek you, but they're not doing it commendably. And verse 17. But they wish to shut you out in order that you may seek them. They wish to shut them out of the blessing of grace so that there will be no more grace and there will be no more joy and no more freedom. Therefore, you have to go and seek men. I don't know if you understand that, because I don't know if you've ever sold yourself to law that bad. But you lose the Lord in going back to the law. and you need to report in to somebody who will read the riot act to you and tell you what you can and cannot do. When your liberty is lost, you have to go back to the lawgivers. Don't do that, brothers.
Keep your... I am free, preacher.
And David Moriel.
And you ought to be free from being... This is going to sound strange. You ought to be free from being a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I mean by that? The family, does that make sense to you? Because there is a Christian image, and you don't have to conform to her. You do not have to conform as a wrath. And by the way, if you would dress up real pretty and come in here, I wish you would. Because some saints have said, do y'all wear is blue jeans or in corduroys a test of fellowship?
Say, free. You're free.
If I could say anything to you, you are a heavenly creature. And the law was not pertaining to you.
I believe you.
You know, you're going to be weak towards sin as long as you're not free from sin. As long as you're afraid of sin, it's going to have grip on you. When it really soaks into you, you're freed from the law and sins that made its occasion through the law. But sin had no power over you until the law came along. And now you're free from the law, wherefore you're free from sin.
My brother Steve, when you realize that you're a thief, it's going to be a wonderful relief, you bird.
You will be free when you realize you're free. Like the man who sat there for years in prison, and then one day he walked up and pressed on the door, and it was not locked. He had been free all his life in denial.
You
are free. The door is unlocked.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Can you understand that God gave us the law because of his own liberty? He gave the law to get us out of bondage, that is, to bring us to Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, he came to share with you his incredible liberty. There is one within you who is totally free from all things. I will even say he only does what he wishes to do, and he does absolutely nothing else. He's about two things about the Lord that never come across very clearly. One, that he is young, and the other one is that he is free. He is free. Your Lord is young, and he's free, and he's a lover. Now that's really breaking the tight, the stereo of what God is like, isn't it? A lover who's young and free. Now that's exciting, isn't it? What's the kind of person you like to be? A young lover who's completely free.
Well, that's great.
I'm prepared to bring the most extreme message that's ever been wrought on liberty. And step on an airplane or whatever and leave here without qualifications. I'm ready to leave here. I really am. For one simple reason, if you're saved, I believe in the Lord. I do not believe this is going to bring license. I expect it to bring liberty and freedom.
Amen.
A sister said it beautifully last night or yesterday or today. No, it was today. A sister said to me, Gene, when you talk about the Lord that way and about how free I am, it just makes me love the Lord more. Have you ever heard of the law making someone love the Lord? Man, I have heard it do everything on earth, but I've never heard it make you love the Lord.
He has set you free.
Amen.
I don't particularly trust you, but I trust the Lord.
Amen.
You are a new species. You may have to train a lion not to eat a human being. You may have to put a lost man under the law. But you are a new species. And freedom from the law with your species, does something it doesn't do to the other species. It is for freedom that you have been set free.
Amen.
You are free from the law. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I will tell you something. If you go back under the stranglehold of the law, Being a Christian is going to benefit you absolutely nothing. To be a believer under the law, you might as well be a Jew or a religious person who has never known the Lord. You might as well be a Muslim. The Lord will not benefit you. You can only be benefited by the Lord when you are free. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. And I want you, brothers and sisters, to know that if you turn to the law and live under it, then you're going to have to live under the law to get to fulfill the Christian experience, because you have no hope or help from God under the law. The law nullifies the Lord in you, just like the Lord in you nullifies the law. You're going to have to choose this way. You're going to be free or under the law. The two don't mix. Crazy girl. Okay, that's wonderful. I'm glad we're forced to this. Sister Judy, get ready to make a choice. You don't go to the Webster's Dictionary to find out what baptism means. And you don't go to a Baptist interpretation of falling from grace to find out what it means to fall from grace. For a Baptist to talk about falling from grace, it means that you were saved and now you're lost. That is not what Paul said. If you go back to living under the law, you have stepped out of living under grace. And if you step out of living under the law and you turn to Christ, then you have stepped into grace. And that's so obvious and so simple, I am not going to comment on it. I'm going to the next verse. Faith got to you through the love of God. The love of God is what won you to Christ. It was the love of God that stirred up faith in you to say, Lord, I believe. Now, I am not here to get you so paranoid against the law that you start putting people under the law to be free, forcing them to be free in areas they don't really have any burden to be free in. I watched groups who have become legalistic, and it takes two people to make a group of Christians legalistic. It takes the youngest and the dumbest, the most immature, producing it, reacting extremely to the message, and it takes the one he was speaking that message to allow it to take root. Bates, I'm going to stay up for the umpteenth hundred fire. You ought never to put your convictions on another saint in my church. You be hard on you. Don't be hard on anybody else. You will destroy the Lord's work in there. You will take away our liberty. By doing this there. And it's always begin with the youngest and newest and the most immature. You're either putting someone under the law or rebelling all outdoors because you think someone's putting you under the law. Preaching the law is accepted in religious circles. Preaching the cross will cause you to be persecuted by those who preach the laws. That's remarkable. Why is it? Would you not think that the law is a worse thing to happen to you than the cross? Would you not? But the cross that Paul refers to here is the cross that destroyed the law and made you free. And in that gospel of a cross that has annihilated the law, is persecuted. It has been from the beginning and will be until the end. That men are accepted when they preach the law. They are persecuted when they preach the annihilation of the law. Very amazing and very true. Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. When you preach the law, you no longer stumble over this incredible thing of the cross. A lot of the Lord's people are afraid of hearing the message that the cross has done away with the law. It is a stumbling block. Praise the Lord for that stumbling block, and praise the Lord for the cross. For we would have nothing in Christ without that cross. We would just be a Muslim under another name. We would be a monk who fasts 4 days a week without that cross. We would be a religion instead of the Lord's people. Christ has called all of his followers, all saints throughout all ages, to be free through the work of the cross.
Let's just put it this way. The flesh and the law hurt other people.
You have readily been hurt by people serving you. Is that not true?
Yeah, that's
And it is the natural inclination of a new man to serve others.
Yeah. Sure.
The antidote for grace is the law. The antidote for law is to love and to serve your brothers and sisters. The way to cure the law is to love and to serve. Okay. Or to put it another way, would you like a good substitute for the law?
Yeah.
Love one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. And the little church groups that needed homes all over America, they end up under the law and they end up devouring one another. And that's why they don't exist very long. The issue is settled between the flesh and the spirit. There is one thing they agree on. You are going to get to do what you want to do. You are neither as strong as your spirit nor your flesh. There is no way. You are number three on the totem pole.
And do you all go free for your bettings without talking to the Lord or losing your temper?
But you're in transition. You're either going to be talking to the Lord or losing your temper very, very soon. Because you're going to go one way or the other.
Even on that, I do believe that it happens to you maybe 10, 15 times a day.
In fact, you are probably the most schizophrenic. You know, a schizophrenic person is warned or has two natures. Well, a Christian has three.
And this is why a Christian is such an unstable person. And that's why God invented the church.
It's the Sanitarian for Christmas.
Now that is the definition of church, isn't it?
Praise the Lord.
The fruit of the Spirit is. Oh, listen. Go Bob is a rail within you.
And it is your spirit.
You do not go to your spirit in order to love.
You do not go to your spirit so that you might rejoice and therefore fulfill all the demands God has put on you. God has demanded of you nothing. He has given you his spirit.
Amen. The fruit of the spirit. You just live in your spirit until the whole trunk is full. And then the trunk gets full, and praise the Lord, the branches get full, and then the ear holes get full, and the eyeballs get full, and the tongue get full, and the fingers get full, and the fingernails get full, and then you cannot bear it any longer. You've stored it everywhere it is to store, and you have got to get rid of it, and you say, hallelujah! For the hallelujah praise song. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, purity. Against such there is no law. Praise for all. So get the sap until it pour out. In the overabundance of divine light. And that's all you're obligated to do.
Yeah. Be in your spirit and it will take care of the rest. Saint.
You are narrow alive and you have the sense that you're alive. Is this not true? You were at my lot by the fact the implanted spirit has been put in. Right then he says, all right, if one is true and one is true, then put one plus one together and get two. If you live by the spirit, if the spirit has made you alive, if you have been resurrected from the dead, if your sins are forgiven, if you are justified, if you are truly sanctified, and the Spirit has done this, and the Spirit has made you alive, if you live by the Spirit, then why not just go on one little step further and live in this? Not only live by the Spirit, but live in the Spirit. Not only do you live by the Spirit, but why not follow the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. You will live by the Spirit. You will lie by means of the Spirit. Therefore, let us go an inch further and let us follow the Spirit wherever he does.
Let us walk in the Spirit. Restore.
Of pouring out the restore, said to one, in the spirit of generous.
When someone has to be dealt with because of trespasses, go take them gently.
Go in a spirit of jealous and don't go till you can.
Go for frustration. But most of all, as you go, you look for yourself. And saints, I can only speak from personal experience when it has come down to correcting a brother. And I look at Miss Sarah.
And there are no brothers here left today who can witness the rest, but I believe it's more or less true, and it has been always. I've usually always forgiven quite spontaneously, saying, brother, there's no difference between her and her.
You'd have no else saying her.
We need that sense. There is no place for self-righteousness or boasting in the half of God. When you bear one another's burdens, you fulfill the only law
that you need never worry about. And that's twice that Paul has said, the only law you ever need to worry about is taking care of other people. Those who follow, pick them up. Those who are burdened, show them the burden with it. And serve the saints in love. And then you fulfill the law.
I don't know why, but that seems to cover all the sins.
Here you are, in the two verses we're bathing for us, and you're what's getting stalked to them. And neither seem to be very compassionate, are there? Have you ever thought about that, that your spirit's not very compassionate?
Have you noticed? Your flesh, you knew, is not compassionate.
Your spirit is also not compassionate. They're fighting a battle. A battle that has to do with eternity.
All right. Now, each of you have a problem with the flesh, do you know?
And sometimes you feed the flesh.
Yes, that I want to.
And the flesh come.
You also had a spirit. And you sometimes feed the spirit. Is this not true?
And out of it, the spirit temple. Okay, brothers, I am telling you
that this whole thing, then Christian, in the sun large leisure, boils down to which way you feed them.
If you nourish your spirit enough, the spirit will come up in your soul. If you nourish your flesh enough, your flesh will grow up in the soul.
One of the two is going to whittle away. Little by little, the battlefield will be gained by one force or the other. It depends on which one you sow to.
Now you take that home with you, would you? There's no law. There's only flowing.
They are not preaching circumcision because they think it's taught by the Bible or that God wants it. They are preaching circumcision so that they will not have to deal with the cross and that old law. Now, why he says that and what that fully means, I honestly do not know. All I can tell you is that the law is always substituted for suffering. You always take out suffering and replace it with the law.
And these men... were afraid of the cross and Jesus Christ. They were afraid of what it would do to their lives. They were afraid of what it would do to their religion. They were afraid of what it would do to the other people. They were afraid. They were afraid of the cross. They did not want the persecution that will come in declaring the covenant. I said to you the other night, to preach the cross will eventually send it to the... Have you ever put someone else under the law? Set someone under the law and then... invariably, you was able to... I remember when I was 13 years old, I got on this kick about not making Coca-Cola's. I was only about a week, sir. And I was telling everybody about Stanley Mustard, sir. You never did the same way, Stanley. And you know, I was riding by drinking Coke with you, bear. Oh boy, he can amplify that in the spiritual realm. Well, they can surely, sir. Men are so willing to put other men on the wall that they themselves would never obey. Now, or to put it another way, there are so few people willing to just wait in and have church law with all the responsibility of a member. Say, you are a virtue. In fact, you are a ANBs. Every time a new Christian comes into the church, we used to rejoice. Now we just go. Every saint comes in and so crippled and so. Every morning of us, need to see our spiritual life. It was comfort. You just a broken. And to help you and to bring you to some confidence and some wall is a minimum of 7 years. It's just. Out of the psychophantic war.
And you know, we can call, we can baptize you, we can teach you the Bible, we can teach you to hate Christians, we can teach you to hate the world, we can give you vitamins, give you carrot juice, we can have you live in common, we can have you live out of common, or we can teach you how to pray, we can make you tithe. What else could we make?
I'll get up in the morning.
You get up every morning and pray, or we could make you work on Saturday morning. We're under my house, we can make you go get a job.
Yeah.
I already said that. You weren't listening, Rick.
Give up, Dred. Hey, let's more tip on the Baptist a while. Make you get to the cooperative program.
We can just do anything and none of the trick work. Meal tricks. There's only one thing that causes you eventually to go in the Lord, and that's a group of people to suffer with you when our little body of the Lord gains ground in your spirit.
And just light in and cry out, boy, we got a scalp stuff.
Shows that men do not wish to capital with the cross. They only wish to boast for what they did in the FIFA. In getting ye. May it never be.
But I should boast. Accepting the call. Of our Lord Jesus. You are a new creature.
How am I?
And nothing else exists.
Amen. 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 What is the wonder?
And nothing else exists.
There is only a new creature. Walk according to that.
Walk by that rule that there is only a new creation. I will get up tomorrow morning and I will walk by one rule.
There's only a new creation.
I don't know. Not things like the old creation.
Only a new creation. Walk by that rule, Brother Ken. But things get hard. Walk by this rule. There's only a new creation. But I'm tempted. No, there's only a new creation. But I'm weak. No, there's only a new creation. I'm in trouble. No, there's only a new creation.
Do you remember?
But you don't understand. I'm an exception. No, there is only a new creature.
Oh, you know what? What are your problems there?
You don't really want to give up the old creation. There is, as I have reminded you so many times, there's a little Ganges man in me, a little Hindu, who wishes very much to go out into the middle of the Ganges River and get under the water, hold his breath, and he's almost drowned, and then bring his head back up. He wants to feel miserable. because he feels that in feeling miserable, he will gain merit with God. No, you are only destroying your grace.
Taking yourself from Christ. I will say one more thing. The Lord is just willing to receive you where you are.
He will only acknowledge that which is dead.
And that which is the new creation. He acknowledges.
Saints, drop your burden and lock your covenants. You keep living by one rule and one rule only. There is a new creation, and I don't know. You reject everything but a new creation. I admonish you, brothers and sisters, to fight
in this word.
By in this word. Between you and the condemning spirit that haunts us all. That little man inside of you that is determined to go back to Motus. You tell him that the spaceship has just been scuttled and there is no longer any means of communication.
Both in your world and the world he has to make there.
He'll either have to live as a new creation or die.
You are now in Jesus Christ. All conversation receives a thought.
And in the sight of God, you are being, you are righteous, you are holy, you are sanctified, and you are to the Lord.
How?
Paul said, you've got all you need. Don't let anybody else ever come and disturb you or take the will of God. It's over with. This is the end. You got all you need. If you think there's anything more, go back and reread the book. There's reward. You've heard all you need here. Your gospel is now completed.
Now may grace. And now may not law, but grace.
The grace that came from our Lord Jesus Christ.
May that grace now be joined to yours. And may your spirit live in there. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, my dear.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.